Everybody's hungry tonight.
Amen.
Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you. It's good to be back.
Amen.
Enjoying our time and trip. We're able to meet some new family of God, new members, and just some wonderful people. I like this family too.
Amen.
Amen. It's good to be back with you, and thank you for the prayers while we were gone. We had a good service while we were away. I got to watch it on Monday morning, and I enjoyed it. And yep, I watched it. I listened to it. You say, Brother Tony, you mean you listen to services while you're gone? I sure do. And you say, well, you probably do that because you're pastor. Well, that might be so, but let me tell you something. This is my home church. And I'm going to tell you what I heard Tim Pruitt say to his church twice. I've thought about this for several months to say it and just to get up enough courage to tell you. This is your home church. If you miss a service and you don't go back and listen to it, God still holds you responsible for that service. And you'd say, really? Yep, he provides you a church and a family and a people and a ministry who cares about you and to teach you the word. And then... Yeah, sometimes you have to be gone.
Yeah.
But then you choose not to go back and tune in afterwards. Right. Do you think that story's going to hold up with the Lord?
No,
it's not. We got to be grown-ups.
Amen.
Amen. And so I we'll let that go wherever it needs to. Amen. I just appreciate the Lord. And so I did. I enjoyed what Brother Daniel had to say. I can't think of the thoughts right now. There were a couple of things. Oh, man, that's really good, you know. I should write those things down. And I heard another minister recently say, you know, and I think, you know what, I'm normal, Ben, because when I'm working and stuff, the Lord will speak to me, and if I don't write it down, sometimes it'll go away from me, you know. And
right.
I'm like, what was that?
Yep.
But that's the human part.
That's right.
And so I should have wrote them down. But anyway, I appreciate Brother Daniel covering the service. And I know the Lord was here and touched lives, and so we certainly appreciate that. So let's get into the scriptures tonight. We'll read 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll title this tonight, The Basis for Fellowship. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18. Very familiar to us. Be ye not. Unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Amen. Did I just read God's word?
Amen.
Is it true?
Amen.
Amen. Should we listen to it?
Amen.
Well, we should. Let's bow our hearts to Him. Lord, we just love you tonight. We thank you for all that you do in our lives. We thank you for this little group of people here, Lord, that over the years to see how you've moved in their life and how you bring growth in their lives and help them through trials, Lord. And we just have to be thankful, Lord, because of these things. Lord, where would we be without you? But you have come on the scene for each one, and Lord, we know you will. Future-wise, Lord, as we go through trials, you're always there to help us through them, and help us to gain insight and strength from it. And so, Lord, we're asking tonight that you bless everyone that's here, those that are streaming, those that will perhaps listen later. Ask God that you touch each one and speak out of your word tonight. Do what only you can do. We ask it in Jesus' name. I look forward to the time that we can all get together on the other side, and believers of other assemblies, and just be able to fellowship around the Word of God without any limitations and never have to stop and say, well, it's time to drive back home. We'll have to do that. And I told Brother Daniel, I said, I think next time I'm going to announce I'm going to be gone, and then I'm going to sneak back in because at lunchtime, you know, I had some really good food there to Sunday. So, but I really appreciate the church being able to continue on in my absence. The basis for fellowship. You know, I didn't read it, but there in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, the scriptures talk about that broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many that go thereat, but narrow and straight is the gate that leads, you know, to life and to righteousness and so forth. And so, you know, there are so many roads in life that we can take, so many people out there that we can fellowship with, so many spirits out there in the world that would try to influence us, and that would, you know, that's what we want to talk about tonight, fellowship that we have. And so to have fellowship, there has to be a basis for fellowship.
Right.
There has to be a reason why people can get together and have fellowship with each other. And we know that it's generally because they have something in common. Right. You don't normally want to hang out with someone who just absolutely just has nothing in common with you because there's nothing you can talk about. There's right. nothing. And this goes way beyond just talking and, you know, like, say, if you like fishing or whatever it is. But we're talking about into the spirit realm. To be able to truly fellowship with someone. You know, when the Lord in the scriptures talked about how when they would go out and go into all the cities and when they come to a place and salute that place, you know, then was there a reciprocation of peace there? That did the household that receive them? And was there a reciprocation? I'm using my own words. And so, because if it's not there, if it's not a reciprocation, it's and reciprocating, moving back and forth, you understand? Right. If it's not there, it just doesn't work, right? And so there has to be a basis for fellowship for people. And it's usually because they have something in common, something they both like, something they both agree in. And we know from the message, the terminology, I think Brother Bosworth said, that Brother Branham said, you know what fellowship is? It's two fellows in one ship. And, you know, we come along and we like to say also that means two fellows in one ship paddling in the same direction, right? And so, but I want to say it just a little bit different tonight. It's two fellows in one ship going to the same destination.
Yeah, man.
Think about it. Going to the same destination. And so, you know, we've mentioned in the past when the scripture said that Enoch walked with God. You know, you can walk with someone, but if you're going into different places, it won't take very long until you're separated.
That's right.
If I was going to walk with someone and go back to the back of the church and go through a door, and someone else I was walking with was looking at a different door, at some point it becomes a separation.
That's right.
Because you're looking at two different things. And so to truly have fellowship, it has to be on the basis of something that you both are looking at, you're both traveling to. They're looking for the same destination. And so I would ask you, what is the destination that you want in life? Right? What is the destination you want after life? And when you think about that, you realize that then it matters who I fellowship with. It matters what direction I'm going. If I want to wind up at a certain place in the kingdom of God, then it matters how we walk and how we fellowship, who we fellowship with. I spoke the other day about how that Israel was not to be reckoned with any of the other nations. They were to be a separate people, a holy people. One, as you remember, I talked about how God had called them out of all the nations. He picked them and told them, don't mix with other nations.
Right.
And so God had called them out and separated them, and they had a law from God. They had a culture from God. They had a lifestyle from God. And it was different than all the other nations. All the other nations were idolaters. They believed in many gods. And God had called them out to believe in the one true God.
Right.
And for Israel, as a physical people, being a type of us spiritually today, as a physical people, they were to remain separate from other nations. Now let me just drop this in here real quick to show how that equates to us. To them, it was don't mix with other nations. For us, it's other denominations or other spirits. Don't mix with other spirits contrary than the one that we're called in, than Christ. And so they had a holy lifestyle, they had a worship, and we know that they had a purpose. Because remember, God had called them and separated them and said, I'm going to do a work in them, and through that work I'm going to bring Messiah to be a blessing to the whole world, right out of Israel. And so he told all the rest of the world and made this statement that if all the other nations, if they would bless Israel, they'd be blessed, and if they cursed them, they'd be cursed. And so all the other nations wanted to curse Israel. They didn't want nothing. And we see it. It's still today. The scriptures is very clear. The time will come when every nation will gather against Jerusalem. And it looks like it's about to happen. We've said that for years, but that Bible's right, and it's going to happen. Right. And you see, so every other nation is against Israel. Right? And every other spirit outside of Christ is against Christ. Right? That's the Old Testament. Natural people, don't mix. Don't water down your seed line, because you're a physical people, a type of this spiritual people over here. Don't water down the spirit that you're walking in, the Holy Spirit that you're walking in. Don't mix it with another spirit. And so we see how that would work there. And so they had a special purpose that God was going to use them to bring redemption to all of the people that had been lost, and the whole world could be blessed by them. And that's the best thing that nations could do right now, is to do whatever they could to help Israel.
Yeah.
That's right. That's one of the best things they could do. Yeah, they could. If they would turn to the Lord, that'd be even better. But I'm just saying, in the natural, if you want to have a country that would be established and God would do something for it, it'd be a blessing to Israel, right? Instead of turning your back on them. But all that is a natural type of what goes on spiritually against the bride of Christ. Remember how all those 200 million demons were released, and they went out there, and what did they do? They went after the natural Jews through Hitler, Mussolini, Eichmann, and caused the Holocaust. And Brother Bram said those same spirits now coming after the bride spiritually, right? So you see the parallel there. And so when he was telling Israel, you're not to be reckoned among them other nations. You are a separated people. Yeah. Don't mix with them. Don't go to their feast. Yeah. Don't marry them. Don't let them marry you. Right? Mm-hmm. And so, in other words, don't have fellowship with them.
Yeah.
Right? Don't have fellowship with them. And I'll explain that a little bit more as we go. And so they were that separated people, and nothing could touch them. No enemy, as long as they stayed with God and didn't mix their seed and do all the things that we know they eventually did, then nothing could touch them. This, as we read in the scriptures the other day, that as Balaam was trying to curse them, and he would begin to prophesy, and at one point in the several times that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he said, basically, I don't remember the exact wording, but how it could be said among Israel, what has God done? What is it that he's done among this people? Because they weren't a perfect people. They had backside, right? They had a backside. They had things that wasn't exactly right. But here's what the prophet said, was that Balaam and Balak, they failed to see that pillar of fire was there. They had the sacrifice. Their sins were covered. They had the shout of the king in their camp. God was with them. And no, they weren't a perfect people, but the presence of God was with them. And so people could look back and say, what is this? What is this that this people who are no better than any other people, but what is it that God has done that he's willing to come down and dwell among them? Right? What is this? What has God done with this people? And nobody, and Balaam said, You can't curse them. No divination can come against them. And here this hireling prophet, even in that gift in his life, I read it the other day, he said, let my end be like that. Let my death be like those people. Right? Let me come to my end with the presence of God among a people, even though they're not a perfect people. But if God has chose to be an atonement for them and to be with them, let me be that way. Let me have that kind of come to that kind of end. It makes sense, right? And so he was with them. Had the pillar of fire and the shout of the king of the camp. You know, even you read it in the scriptures when they go to battle and just the shout of your enemy, of the enemy, of Israel's shout would cause their enemy to quake in fear, right? So what do they know? I mean, what are they shouting about? Do they have a secret weapon that we don't know about, right? See, when you look at, when the people, the devil would look at you and see you're happy, right? You got joy. Oh, wait a minute. I don't know if I want to mess with that person or not. They're happy, right? You think about it. It makes a difference, right? It's like we said, you know, don't sell it. If it's got a long face, you don't want to sell that to someone because they don't want it. Amen? But that's how it was. And so they couldn't be touched. But when they mixed, the prophet told us that God never did forgive them for that. And that sounds like, you know, if we look over here in the New Testament and say, well, there's, you know, unpardonable sin, the only unpardonable. And you look back there and say, he never forgave them for that. And the key to that, to my understanding, the best I know is what I said the other day was because once you take a pure seed, like the spoken word's original seed, you take a pure seed and you mix it with something, it's no longer pure and you can't reverse it. It can't be brought back. Right? So Israel, when they begin to mix and mingle and marry with Moab, look what happened. What could he do with that? The only way he could do anything is come along and recreate a new experience, a new people, which is what he's done with us, is a new birth, right? That's exactly what he does. Creates all things new. And that's how he can do it. He never forgave him because the original seed was lost there. And so, nations, as I said a while ago, nations to us is denominations or spirits. And mixing of the seed there for them, for us, is joining up with anti-word, anti-spirit, anti-Christ spirit things. And so, you know, we understand as Balaam could not curse Israel. But he went to Balak, King Balak, and he taught Balak how to trick him. And what happened? So here's Moab, this other nation, which they're not supposed to mix with. They're not supposed to have. And what does he do? He invites them to some of their feast. He invites them to a festival that they're going to have where they're going to be sacrificing to their gods. And they invite Israel to come to that. And I ask you, why did Israel go to that? Why did Israel... Why were they even tempted to go and be part of that? Just to go and observe it. Why? Right? Because what would be the basis of that fellowship? Right? Think about it. What would be a reason? I say that because I look at some of the decisions we've made in our lives, and I see the decisions that people make. And what business do we have doing or going and being involved in some of the things we get involved in? Right. And you think, how could this be? Because sometimes you just wonder, how are they awake? So how is it? There had to be some great pull or something there for Israel to go down there, and they did. They went down to this feast. And you know what happened there? At that feast, they got seduced, and they began to intermingle with the people, began to hybrid Israel, mixing their seed with another nation. And so that's the thing that Brother Branham said, God never did forgive them for that. And so, it, you know, look at it, you think about it, they went to a feast. Why did they go? Is it because they wanted to be friendly? Did they want to be neighborly? Because a lot of times they're, well, I'm going to be friendly. I want to be neighborly. I want to be kind. Right? We understand we are to be kind and so forth. But, you see, a lot of times there's a place there where you get hooked up in something you have no business getting hooked up in. And you say, well, I'm just trying, and a lot of times people know better. But they just do it anyway and use it as an excuse. And I'm just showing you here that there was some reason why Israel decided, well, we'll go. Did you not know they were out to get you? So they invited them down there. Israel goes down there and they get seduced. And so it's a false worship. But you have to understand a false religion, false worship, false things like, you know, the paralleler, it leads into adultery. It leads into, because it's a spiritual, not tapping natural. This thing's running hand in hand. And it's like you realize that when spirits get together, when the stronger spirit wins. Yeah. When spirits get together and maybe they're not perfectly yoked together, they're different, whatever, one of those is a stronger spirit, and that's gonna win out. Israel went down there, and they might have went down there with great intention. Well, hey, we're the children of God. We'll be fine. We'll go down. But you were doing something you shouldn't have done in the first place. Yeah. That would have been a time to stand back and say, I'm not going to be neighborly. Right? We'll wave at you. God bless you. But we're not coming down there and being partakers. We're not going to come down there and watch it. We're going to make sure that we're not doing anything that would cause us to be seduced. And so they went down there and a stronger spirit got a hold of them. And so we know the stronger of the two will win. Brother Branham tells us divine love. He said people get one another's spirit instead of getting the Holy Spirit. You go to a group of people and watch the way people act, and you find out that they come into the congregation, first thing you know, they act the same way. And you take a good woman and a bad man, and he'll either become a good man or her a bad woman. In one place he says when they marry, she or her a bad woman. In the atmosphere that you live in, you project to your associates what you are. Israel went down there, and those people projected upon them a spirit that wasn't pure, wasn't Holy Spirit, wasn't what Israel was to be. They went down there and got it close, and that other people projected onto them a spirit that caused them to commit fornication, caused them to do something that God could never forgive them for. I hope you see the parallel, because there's so many roads, so many ways to destruction, so many people, so many spirits, so many doctrines, teachings, and whatever that's out there. And every one of them, they're different than the Holy Spirit. And every one of them want to conquer the spirit that you're of, wants to conquer the Holy Spirit in your life. Every one of them. And so we do the same thing. What we want to do is we want to project our spirit upon them, right? Not that they would catch our spirit, but to see the Holy Spirit and catch the Holy Spirit. That's what we want. But they're the same. And so Brother Graham says that you project to your associates what you are. And then what type of people ought we to be if we're Christians? What type of atmosphere should we live in? In a consoling, soothing, healing atmosphere we should live in. With our hearts constantly in prayer, with a deep love for every person we come in contact with. Amen. We believe that. So, you take a good woman and a bad man, or a good man and bad woman, you put them together, and at somewhere along the way, they'll both wind up the same. Either good or bad, right? Because it's a warfare, right? And so the scriptures, you know, we talk about don't be unequally yoked together. Well, this is a good one to lay out there when young people are looking for a mate, right? You want to be married, you want to be, you know, you want to be happy. Well, I'm going to tell you what, you better do some serious looking, some serious watching, some serious observing, some serious prayer. Because you want to yoke up with something that is equal to you,
right?
And so that scripture for you for a long time, I'm like, what do you mean unequally yoked together with a? What does that mean? And when it tells you, like I said before, if you have a tall horse and a short horse or whatever, I forget how I describe it. If you have two animals and one of them is more powerful than the other one, how can they work together? They can't. So what he's telling you, be equally yoked. Don't be unequally yoked. Don't yoke up with something you're not equal with, but yoke up with something you are equal with the same spirit, same belief, paddling in the same boat, going to the same destination. Right? Because if you connect with something else that's different, then it's just turmoil. Right? And so Israel went down there and they got influenced by something that was totally, totally contrary. And you look what happened. Amen. And that thing, as I said the other day, that happened there, you find it all the way over here in the New Testament, in the scriptures where God called and said to the New Testament church, the third church age I believe it was, said, you have those that hold that doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak how to cast a stumbling block before Israel. Here's a church system, and a church system that's got a spirit upon them that's gonna cause people to commit fornication with devils instead of being virtuous to Christ. That's what he's saying. That's exactly what that's saying. Well, how does that happen? Because in the church realm, you had politics coming to move in, and you start, instead of just being strictly the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, that what we fellowship around, we are motivated by, and then politics begins to move in, you begin influenced by another spirit, politics, or even we know the scriptures that system got demonic powers in it. But although it's supposed to be Christ, the Holy Spirit, His word and that alone. But you get all these things begin to move in, and next thing you know, the church has committed fornication against Christ. Right? And so it's all the way here with us today. It's part of the very battles that we fight, is to hold ourselves pure. So the strong spirit will usually win out. In times of war, when there's a nation goes in and conquers another nation, that nation that has been conquered usually takes on the language and the religion and the lifestyle and the culture of the one who conquered them. Right? Because they were stronger. Can you imagine that? Unless that stronger nation would allow them to continue on. But why would you do that? If you want to conquer them and to benefit by them, then you need them to totally come in underneath your influence. And so you understand, spirits are that way. These spirits that are contrary to the message, they don't want to just be friends with you. They want to destroy you. They want to tear you down completely. Because that's the nature of spiritual warfare. It's the nature of warfare. And so when other spirits want to fellowship with you, it's to make you like them. Right? If it's not Holy Spirit, if it's anti-word, then it's to conquer you. That's the whole purpose. It wants to make you weak. Make you weak and water down your lifeline. This battle that we're in is not, it's not like literally a knife, someone coming with a knife literally sticking it in your bag. But it's false doctrines and false teachings and false traditions that are anti-word. And remember, Satan doesn't come and say, hey, I'm the devil, I'm here to ruin your day. He comes through subtlety. And until he's got you. That's the way it is. We all know that. If we were out and we had to be, you know, you'd pretend like everything was fine until you knew you had it over on your enemy. And then you'd let the cat out of the bag. Then he'd realize, oh, I'm done for. That's the way it is. He'd wait till he gets you hooked in. And then you find out. Uh-oh, this was wrong. But how do you prevent that? Don't go down there to that feast in the first place. Don't start meddling and being involved and being influenced by this culture in the first place. That's right. That's what Brother Bram was talking about when he said, we're going to apply the token. We're going to clean up around here. You know what? That's what he's saying. We're going to cut off these things that would influence us contrary to having the Holy Spirit as our number one. That's exactly what he's talking about. And so, spiritual warfare, anything that will come along and weaken your lifeline, you want to know that that's your enemy, and you want to keep it away from you so that influence is not coming from there. It, you know, the scripture tells us that the word of God is the sword of the spirit. If the word of God is a sword, right? Now, we understand God's word is creative. But if God's word is a weapon, a sword, a knife, then all these other words are weapons too. They're swords too. That the enemy wants to talk to you. And convince you and woo you and tell you it don't really matter. They had to tell it. Somehow Israel had to take leave of their senses. Something happened and a spirit got on in and he totally, and hey, it's fine. It's fine. We can marry them now. It's okay. They got under some fault, something. We're like, could you imagine that? And so much. I said the other day, the audacity of one of those Israeli men to come in and bring one of those women right in the presence of the tabernacle, right out in front of the tabernacle, right there in front of the churchyard, to bring in nonsense that's going to bring a curse to the whole bunch. That's exactly what it was. And so they should have had no fellowship whatsoever with that. Well, what am I saying? You've got to identify the things in your life that's wooing you and making you weaker in Christ. You better push that off and say, I'm not coming to your feast no more.
Right.
That's what you've got to do. And nobody can do it for you. You have to do it. Amen. So when the scripture says, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, what fellowship does light have with darkness? It has none. There is no fellowship between light and darkness. They're opposite, right? Or excuse me, what fellowship does righteousness have with unrighteousness? It doesn't. What fellowship does someone who's walking in righteousness, remember Abraham believed God and it was counted for him righteous, right? What puts us in a position where we're in right standing with God? Then what fellowship do we have with those who are contrary to that? Amen? Yeah, you want to be a testimony to them, but you make sure that influence is one way only, not coming back the other way. What communion does light have with darkness? What part does a believer have with an infidel? This is the word speaking this. What agreement does the temple of God have with idols? We are the temple of God, right? God wants to dwell in us. But guess what? Other spirits want to dwell in us. Other spirits want to anoint us. Other spirits want to do that. And in doing that, we become idolaters. In doing that, we become fornicators, right? Look at how many religions out there. And it winds up in foul living. Look at them. Even in Christian churches.
Yeah.
Brother, sister, there is one place for being kept from this world and those things, and that's in Christ, in the Word.
Yeah.
Right? We are the temple of God. We have no place. There is no place for demons to come and dwell in us.
Yeah.
Right? This is the temple of God. This is to be holy.
Yeah.
This is for the Holy Spirit to live in.
Yeah.
Not gossip, not anger, not you whatever, you know. But it's a place for the Holy Spirit. And what we're showing you here is that if you begin to get in fellowship with contrary things, such that you begin to have communion with it, that you begin to eat out of it at the table of it, begin to drink of the cup of it, then that puts devils in your life. That puts false anointings in you. See? And so we are a people that's ordained by the Holy Spirit to recognize these things and become an invisible army. Right? And so we have these things, we can't just have a book knowledge of it. We have to take this and recognize it in our life, how to overcome and how to become a living example of what we're talking about here. A living example of how to discern those things and withstand them and become that invisible army. We're not just going to be thinking about it, talking about it, and someday we're raptured. We have to manifest this.
Amen.
We have to manifest this life before we leave here.
Yeah.
Amen. So we don't have fellowship with them, yet people do it all the time. Look at the church world. Look at what they're fellowshipping with. Look what manifests through them. You know, one few times somebody says, well, is it okay to gamble? Well, for us, it was pretty plain, but you try to take scriptures and explain that to somebody, you know, I'm going to tell you, look what it attracts. Look at the lifestyle that's around it, right? Look at the fruits of it. Jesus told us that. Look at the fruits of it. And so the Lord said, and we read there, come out from among them, right? Come out from those things. Don't touch that unclean thing because it's going to defile you. Don't. He didn't say, I'm going to come get you. He said, you come out from it. I'm calling you. You've heard my voice. Come out. Now you come out and don't touch those things. And if you do that, then I'll be your God and you'll be my sons and my daughters. Right? Because you're to be my temple. I will dwell in you and I will walk in you. Amen. How many of you want the Lord to walk in your life?
Amen.
That's the cry of our hearts.
Amen.
Just to walk daily with the Holy Spirit, able to be here in you, expressing itself. It's not all about just you feeling good because you feel the presence of God, but it's about you touching lives with that.
Amen.
That's what it's about, touching lives. So he says, come out from among them. And that's why I went through this, and this, what I'm talking about this, I'm not talking about just false religions. I'm talking about filth of the world, too. All of it, spirits are trying to take Christ out of your life. All of that. It's there. And so when he says, come out from all that, it's all of that. But come out from, in Revelation 18, it says, come out and hurt my people. Right? That was a false religious system. But remember, that system has religious power, political power, demonic power. It's all right in there. I remember years ago down there in Mexico and interviewing the pastor, and he was talking about how the church system down there and how they'd have these festivals out on the street and the nonsense, the filth and demon stuff manifesting itself in a church-sponsored function. Right? Because that system, and so what I'm saying is come out from all of that. Come out from religious seducing spirits. Come out from that. Come out from political spirits, political mindedness in the church, and maybe even out there we could say in the world too. Come out from among all that. That is not what's to motivate us.
Right?
Right? not false religious system, not political system, and certainly not demonic system. Come out from all that. That's not to be what we focus our time and our attention, and that's not what's supposed to be, we're supposed to be anointed by. We're supposed to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. So come out from among those things. And so, come out from her, my people. Because God had people in there that needed to come out. And that's the message we have today. To reveal all of this and tell us, come out from those things. So ask yourself, what is it that I'm desiring to have fellowship with? What about my life am I wanting? And are you wanting something in life that is fellowship with something contrary to the word? Examine yourself. And ask yourself, where do you want to go in this life? And where you go has a whole lot to do with who you fellowship with, because they're going to influence you. And God has given you a church family. Brother, sister, we should hold that in such high regard. Yeah. Such high regard. I have to get around you folks before we can really let our hair down and talk about what we really believe. Yeah. And not feel like somebody's resenting it. Yeah. That's so precious that we can talk about the very word of life that's going to cause us to live throughout eternity. And you've got a people God has provided to believe that as a family. Brother, that, brother, sister, that's where our fellowship, yeah, around this word. Remember the scripture the other day? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, because he's in his own gospel, then we have what? Fellowship, one with another. And the blood cleanses us from all sins.
Amen.
It goes together. If you want to have your blood, the blood of Christ, cleansing you from sin, there's a body you're to be in fellowship with.
Right.
Amen. Such a blessing. It's nice to go meet other people from other assemblies, but it's nice to know your own family, your own home church family. We're in this world, but don't have fellowship with the world. Don't have communion with it. Don't eat of their sacrifices. Don't drink from the cup. You know that she's got a cup of iniquity. She's going to drink of the judgment that comes from that cup because of what she's done. Don't be partakers of that, because that judgment comes upon all who are partakers. We cannot have fellowship. We have to break off this. If you've been engaged, as it were, to a false thing, you need to break that engagement off. If you understand what I'm saying, get rid of those things. Do a house cleaning. Find out. Because you can measure it. I'll say it this way. You know, some people might say, well, you know, there ain't nothing wrong with my walk. Well, are you getting the results that you want? Are you getting the results that the scripture said you should have? And if you're not, examine your walk. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Examine your walk. Amen. I believe with all my heart God has a people, and I believe we're part of that people, mm-hmm. who's ordained to walk in this life. Amen. But it's a revelation. You can't do it by book knowledge. You can't do it by do's and don'ts. It is a revelation that has to strike your heart. So you understand who you are, and you'll understand, I don't need those things. I don't need this world. I don't need these influences. And furthermore, I have figured out that they cause me trouble in my walk when I do let them influence me. And we all have to come to that place where you can identify those things in your life, take care of your vineyard, get the little foxes out. Right? We are, each one of us are our vineyard keeper. Amen. And Brother Daniel and I, and any ministers that come here, we're here to encourage you. Get out there in that yard, start pulling in that garden, start pulling those weeds, closing up that fence to keep the foxes out.
Amen.
We're here, but we can't. There's only so much we can do, right? We can tell you how we do it. We can tell you how that God has helped us overcome. But you've got to put feet on there. You know, works is faith expressed. Amen. And so But I believe the fact that we are able to set under the things that we do, the words that we have heard, that we God has given it to us. And so we can look around and just look at what the prophet told us there. I mentioned the other day in Shalom, the Shalom message. Gross darkness upon the world and upon the people. Gross darkness. But not to you, not to the believer. To the believer, it's Shalom. It's good morning. If it's good morning, that means it's a new day. If it's a new day, then that means it's the eighth day. It's eternity that's bringing forth upon us. But you have to see it that way. As I said the other day, we have to have receptors of light. So the world is in darkness, but at the same time, the bride is getting light. There's light shining. It's risen upon us. The glory of the Lord is visible upon us as God's people. I say that, you know, humbly. The glory of the Lord upon his people, upon us as his people, while the world is in darkness, gross darkness, the scripture said. So you have to choose what, where you stand, right? Do you believe what God has done? And if you could walk in the light and walk in these truths and separate yourself from that darkness out there, you know, you look out and you can see that exactly what the prophet said, it's happened. It's just gross darkness. They've went insane. He talked about it all the time. They've went crazy. But at the same time, this word has unfolded greater and greater light, greater and greater understanding, greater revelation at the same time. What is this that God has done? Because we'd just be like anybody else. We'd be like any other nation. All that, if God hadn't done it, we'd be just like that. But most of us probably came from those things, right? So you understand. What is this that God has done with this people, that in an hour of gross darkness, got somebody and the pillar of fire is among them, the shout of the king is in their camp, light is upon them, and you have to choose. I say choose. I know that if you're predestinated of God, you will, but I'm just saying that we as children of light, we have to walk in that revelation knowing that those things out there are not for us, and I'm not having fellowship with it, and it won't come nigh my dwelling as long as I stay right here and stay pure and don't mix with those false seeds. Then God will take me right through here just like he promised. I mean, believe that.
Amen.
Amen. And so we just thank the Lord for his goodness. And we'll quit right there. I could go on and on and on, but it's Wednesday night. I don't want to keep it too late, so let's bow our hearts to him. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your word in this hour, Lord, that you have brought to us so wonderfully. Lord, I know there's so many times that you do things and we don't even recognize it, don't even notice it. But Lord, I know that you've done great things among your people sitting here this day. Their lives have been so wonderfully touched. In an hour of darkness, Lord, you have brought light on their pathway. How thankful we are, Lord. We're asking, Lord, that you just continue to give us strength, continue to reveal yourself to us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to continue to embrace more and more of these truths, Lord, that they become resident in us, that that's become what we are. Not just what we have heard, or what we believe so much, Lord, but even to the degree that we believe unto the Savior of our soul, believe unto the manifestation of this bride movement. We just love you, Lord. Ask for your blessings upon each one. Ask it in Jesus' name. We love it.
Amen.
Song stand. Go to 601.
It's by his grace. It's by his grace. It's by